Hello and welcome to Animal Voices. You're listening to CIUT 89.5 FM, your University of Toronto community radio station. I'm your host, Lauren Corman, here with the other host, Rob Moore.
Howdy.
And teching for us today, as always, is the lovely Lamia with such a cute toucan. And it's getting cold out. Today we have a really exciting program, a lot of different guests, and I'm going to hand it over to Rob to do a proper introduction.
Well, today's exciting program is the second installment of our Activism Through Entertainment series. Last week you heard us speaking with Dan Peraro of Bizarro, and this week we'll be speaking with Carrie Lee of Acting Creatively. She teaches acting for kids through her company, but she also conducts vegication workshops, teaching creative compassion to kids, teens, and their parents. Her troupe, the Acting Creatively Veg Kids, perform original musical and sketch comedy pieces at animal advocacy events, and they can be found at the upcoming Walk for Animals in New York. Later on in the show, we'll be speaking with Jonathan Skinner, who is, I think, quite a superstar. He created this non-violent video game called Steer Madness, about a steer who escapes a slaughterhouse to go on missions to save his animal friends. And we'll hear all about his new company called Veggie Games, Inc. And he's also one of the founders of Vegan Voices, an animal advocacy group out of Vancouver. And then we usually start with the news, but we're going to do the news at the end of the program. We're going to be joined by Karen Davis, president of...
She's the president of United Poultry Concerns, yeah.
And we'll be speaking about the bill that was passed in California, SB 1520. It bans the sale of and production of foie gras, and we're going to get the details all about that.
But not until 2012.
Not until 2012.
So there's
got
a big
seven
controversy.
And a half years.
Is this a good thing or not? Initially, it looked like it was a real big victory for the animal rights and welfare movements, and now there's some controversy. So we're going to be covering that topic in an upcoming program very shortly as well, sort of just dedicating it to looking at that legislation and how activists go about making change legally.
It's very important because either it is a victory for the animals and it will be stopped, or it actually gives Sonoma Foie Gras, the company that produces foie gras, a legal exemption from any kind of legal activity against them for 8 years.
Mm-hmm. That's a whole lot of force feeding.
That's a whole lot of force feeding.
You know, and it gives them a chance to figure out different ways to fatten the livers of these animals without force feeding them. It gives them 8 years to do that.
Yeah, I have a lot of questions about it. We'll be talking about
that. So we're going to hear
from
Karen Davis, though. She'll give us an initial perspective. She's really been heavily involved in looking at all sorts of poultry issues for many, many years now. She's really a forerunner in terms of looking at avian issues, I guess you could put it that way.
And now we're going to be welcomed with Carrie Lee of Acting Creatively. Carrie, are you on the line?
Yeah, hi.
Hi, Carrie. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. So tell us all about your vegication workshops.
Well, the vegication workshop is something that I started recently. They're free workshops that we do where we basically vegicate everyone, which is a complete vegan education. We start out just really talking with everyone who attends, and it's for families, too, so it's not a specific age group. Some kids just come on their own, but I really encourage them to bring their parents and their siblings and friends. So we just talk about how they feel about animals and what, you know, rights animals should have, what rights we should have. What can I tell you? We talk about compassion and what we can, you know, and then at the vegan side of it, we also talk about nutrition and how kids and families can go vegan, being healthy, having fun, not being paranoid about eating tofu all the time. We show videos, we do games, and kids perform. We have discussions, we sing. It's a really fun event.
So I assume vegication, that's a nice word.
I was so excited when I woke up and thought of that.
It's a eureka moment. But it's not veg indoctrination, so I assume there's like a critical thinking perspective.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's we really cover everything. It's like a vegan education.
Okay.
So it's we talk about compassion, we really try and cover everything, and I also have made little booklets which the kids, everyone who attends gets this little booklet, which has a lot of resources in it. And it also has a little bio that I wrote for myself and all of my kids who perform. They have their bios in there, too.
So how and why did you come up with this?
Well, I run an acting school here in New York. It's called Acting Creatively. And I started it a few years ago, and I've been vegetarian, vegan, since I was really little, about the fourth grade. And it's always just been something that I've always kind of incorporated that into anything that I do. So with the acting school, it just, you know, it was a natural evolution of bringing it in slowly, just talking with some students. Some of my students already were vegan or vegetarian. So I would bring it in slowly, and then it just became the time where, wait, I could be doing these workshops just as often as acting classes.
Mm.
So we're, you know, slowly bringing that program in and hoping that that'll be something that, you know, eventually really catches on and lots of folks will come out for it.
And what has the response been like so far?
It's been great. I put it, we have a newsletter that goes out just for acting classes and schedules for stuff going on here. And I put it in the newsletter and we have had huge responses. People that I really didn't think would come were calling, saying, oh, can we reserve spots at the Vegetation Workshop?
Wow.
So, yeah, it's really cool.
And so people are generally pretty open when they come, I guess. They want access to this information.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's not the kind of thing that we tell people to go to. So everyone's really registering on their own. So they're coming very open-minded.
And are they wanting information about, you know, animal issues? Are they trying to figure out how, I'm just wondering who your audience is. Are they curious about how to live more healthy, or they've been vegetarian before, but they just didn't do it right? Who are the people that are interested?
Actually, it was a really good mix. I had a bunch of, especially teen and preteen girls who were vegetarian, and they, you know, their parents were getting it and supporting it, but were worried about their nutrition and just, you know, wanted to learn more. And then I had a ton of, since the workshop is free, we had just a ton of people saying, oh, Carrie's offering a free workshop. So that was pretty cool. And when I had everyone come, I said, who thought you were coming to a free acting class today? And a few people raised their hands. So I said, okay, well, it's not that.
So, did they stick around?
Oh, yeah. Oh, totally.
That's
it was really great.
Yeah, right.
Because so, all the other classes here, they have to pay for acting classes. So there's a free workshop. And there's some acting involved anyway. We did a little scene from Charlotte's Web, and we do some improv. I always work that in.
For the vegetation stuff, you do some acting.
Oh, yeah, of course.
It is kind of like an acting workshop / education seminar?
A little bit, yeah, because I have this group of kids who perform, and they're called the Acting Creatively Veg Kids. And they a lot of their friends, you know, they've all met from my acting classes. So they have a lot of friends who want to come and see them. So I guess the kids in the audience have opportunities to act. Like we all sing, oh, we wish we had a farm instead of Old MacDonald had a farm, and they're all the animals. So, yeah, there's some performing involved in the vegetation workshop.
Carrie, I wanted to ask you a quick question. This is something that Rob and I, one of the reasons why Rob and I were so excited to do the show, and this show is part of a two-part series. This is the second part about how activists educate through entertainment. And I was curious about how you talk about things like factory farming. I mean, it sounds like this workshop is full of, like, lots of good energy and is pretty fun and lighthearted. Something like factory farming, which is, you know, very related to veganism for most people and why they're vegan.
Yes.
How do you address that issue in this kind of context in a way that's not, a total bummer for people?
First of all, a lot of entertainment is sad. Like, a lot of really great songs are sad. Films, you know, that you cry in, you're still being entertained. But I've found, like, it's because the kids perform some sad stuff. They have a song they're working on now that I wrote for them where it's a song kind of, it's in the animal's perspective. And it's a really sad song, but it's kind of like a rock song, too. And the kids have such great voices. So when they're singing, it's entertaining, but it's also really moving.
Mm-hmm.
But also, part of facing the factory farm challenge is that a lot of the kids, it's very empowering to realize that you can make a difference. And for them to get out there and, you know, they don't need to just talk about how awful it is because it's kind of a given that it's awful and we set that up in the beginning. And they say, but the best part is you can do something about it.
Yay.
You know, you can change it. You can free these animals. You can save lives. You don't have to eat them. You don't have to support this. You can stand up and speak out against it. And that, I think, that's really empowering for them. And that's where the comedy comes in. It's, you know, it could be a very upbeat thing.
So in your back to your workshops, I'm curious how exactly one teaches compassion for animals. I mean, that's something we talk a lot about on the show. It's easy to show people what really happens, but it's sometimes difficult to teach them to care. So I'm really curious how you approach that.
I don't know, honestly. It's kind of like teaching acting. You know, I'm an acting teacher, but I don't really think you teach acting. I think you just give people an opportunity to express themselves. And when we're doing the, you know, trying to teach compassion, it's much more of just talking about it, discussing it, saying, how do you feel about this? I've had a few kids come up to me and say, oh, can I perform with your group? I say, oh, yeah, sure. Are you, you know, thinking about becoming vegetarian? And they'll say, oh, no, I love steak. And I just look at them for a minute, and it's kind of like, I don't know what to say. And I, you know, I'll say, well, are you aware of this? Do you know about this? Oh, how about we look at this book or watch this video, you know? And they're like, oh, well, you know, I'm from Texas. I'll eat that no matter what. And in those situations, I'm usually stuck. And we try. We really try. I have a little pig that I adopted who lives at the farm sanctuary, and I have her picture on my desk. And, you know, a lot of the kids talk about her, and I don't know. I have a lot of my students that I'm good friends with, so when I talk about something important to me, I'm lucky that they're very open-minded to listening.
I always think it's an interesting question, you know, when we talk with humane educators, you know, about teaching compassion, because it's sort of a philosophical question in the sense that, do you think you teach people compassion, or do you just access what was already there from the start? I mean, I'm not sure what your experience is, but there's a lot of different debates about this right now, about if whether or not people are sort of inherently cruel or not. I think that's a debate that will go on forever. But it seems like a lot of kids already feel an affinity for animals, and once they do find out about how they're treated and make a connection between what they're eating and the animal, they tend to be a little bit horrified.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I can't... one of the kids that in my performing troupe had a line and their little introduction, which said, I can't imagine sticking a fork in a cow and feeling good about it.
Yeah.
You know, and that kind of summed it. I just love that because, I don't know, I don't think that anyone can actually watch what goes on a factory farm or watch an animal being tortured and feel okay about it.
How old are the kids, just so I can get an image of the people you're talking about?
That are in my group?
Yeah.
They're 7 to 16.
Okay.
Yeah, our oldest is 16. Our youngest actually was 6, but I think she turned 7.
And
yeah.
So, and after say the workshops, do you find that people are changing their attitudes or being more open to vegetarianism?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I have so many. I tell anyone who has come to a veg workshop that they can contact me anytime, and I'll sit down with them, and I do what's called giving a meal makeover, which is where they tell me what they're used to eating, and I make it over. So.
Okay.
I try and give. I'm not a nutritionist at all, but from doing this for so long, and whenever you're a real advocate for something, you need to learn as much as possible.
Definitely.
For any conversation you might be involved with. So I know a lot about nutrition, so I can make over their meal and give them the same thing, but a vegan substitute.
And for the parents of the kids who are going to these workshops, do you give them certain exercises? I mean, I guess my question is, how do you differ the education between the kids and the parents, or is there a difference?
Not really. I know a lot of wonderful educators who do this, and they go into schools. Carol Moon and Ashley Smith, they go into schools all over, and I've learned a lot from speaking with them. They go into schools and do their compassion classes. So what I do is I try and have the whole family there at once, because I've noticed that so many kids, myself included, learn in school where meat comes from and where what really goes on with milk and eggs, then go home and tell their parents that they want to become vegetarian, and the parents don't know how to respond to that. So that's why I like to have the parents there, because even though I don't try and force anyone or change their mind in a harsh way, giving everyone that education at the same time, I've noticed, really opens up discussions for the family. The parents get to see where the kids are coming from. They've all seen the same video, you know.
Which video do you show?
One that's great is called My Friends at the Farm. Do you guys know that one?
Who's the main narrator?
Casey Affleck.
Okay.
Actor Ben Affleck.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
Farm Sanctuary produced it. It's really cute because it has Dan Ferrara's cartoons in it.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So it follows three animal ambassadors and their story, and their two stories. And Casey Affleck narrates it. And it has, it does have some really upsetting footage in it, but it's the best tape that I've seen as far as something for kids goes.
Have you had any negative reactions to, you know, this workshop at all?
No.
No?
Not at all.
This is so good. See, I always want to just check in with people. Like, has no one gotten angry at you or been frustrated or, you know?
No, we had, there was one moment in the workshop where one mom said something, and it was really done very nicely, but it was the only kind of moment where I was just worried for a minute, like, oh, is there going to be some kind of fight? One mom said something that she's a nurse, and she doesn't know where to get the protein, she doesn't know where to get calcium for her patients, and, you know, she studied health for so long that she thinks it might be impossible. And another mom started to challenge that and, you know, say that cow's milk is meant for baby cows and human milk is made for your children, and it seems so unnatural to even consider feeding children cow's milk or goat's milk. So they had a little back and forth there for a moment.
In this side of the ring, one mom. Another mom. They go head to head.
Yeah, because they, you know, they can ask questions. I encourage people to challenge it. Because you know what? If they're not challenging it, they're still having those questions. Mm-hmm. They're still wondering about it. And then they're going home and they're still a part of animal advocacy that seems impossible to them.
Yeah.
And I don't want anyone to struggle with it because it's so easy. It's just absolutely so easy. There's no reason for anybody to have to use another life for your own.
Have you had any requests to do these workshops outside of New York?
No, but I would love to.
I bet a lot of people will be asking you to do that.
I would really love to. So if there's anyone that you know, of course, I'd be thrilled.
We'll
and the kids would be thrilled, too. I told them about the possibility of going to Canada, and that was the highlight of everyone's year so far.
We have to have the Acting Creatively Veg kids at the next year's Toronto Vegetarian Fair. I mean, we just have to. I mean, we really just have to. Tell us more about the troop, the vegetarian kids troop. First of all, how did you get so many vegetarian kids to be in one troop?
Can I stop you for a second? I want to just say something here about Rob. Rob has done theater and dance. So you like if you could see his face right now, he's like giddy.
Would you like to be in the troupe?
Can I be in the troupe? I would love to be. Can I be a guest star when you come to Toronto?
Yeah, please.
I'll do it.
Oh, that would be so great.
Yeah,
that would be so awesome.
As long as I get a solo.
I've had a few of my adult friends want to join.
Yeah.
I want to join. They have so much. Rehearsals with the veg kids are the most fun that I ever have. They're just so great. They're the most fun kids, and they're so compassionate, and they are so talented, which is shocking, because to have a bunch of veg kids, I kind of didn't. The talent was second to their morals and their ethics. So the fact that they can all sing really well and they're all great actors and they're so cute, that was really a plus.
And you just found these kids like either through your workshops or just through your school?
They were just sitting in the parking lot outside of it was really weird. They're students of mine that I've had just from acting classes. But what I did, a few of the kids I knew were vegetarians because they've talked about it with me and they've come to me for advice in the past. So I knew that I could put together a little troop with maybe 5 or 6 kids. But then I put it in my newsletter that I send out for acting class information. I just put that I'm looking for, you know, I don't know which students are vegetarians, but if they are and they'd like to be in a little performing group on behalf of animals, that let me know. And there's no auditions. You just need to be vegetarian to be in the troop. So they are such a huge response. It was great.
Wow.
I actually initially had to turn kids away from it, which was shocking and sad. But we were doing a gala for the farm sanctuary. They let us perform. And, you know, just having too many kids wouldn't have been feasible.
Sure.
Right.
And tell us about some of the things you perform.
They do songs. They do comedy. They do poetry. Now they're doing a little cheerleading kind of thing. Where they, you know, cheer, they're the Go Veg cheerleaders. They've done the Brady's Lunch, which is a takeoff of the Brady Bunch, where all the Brady's go vegan by the end of the episode. All the problems are solved within 15 minutes. A bunch of songs. They have a skit they're doing now called Meal Makeovers, which is really cute. It's these girls who are they're like really trendy. And I wish I had the style that they have. Mm-hmm. And they do like, as if it's like a makeover TV show, and they have a guest come on who's used to eating animal products, and they give him a makeover.
Okay.
Awesome.
Oh, and we also act out the Meatrix, which I completely stole from PETA, and rewrote it a little so there were more parts in it, but they act that out, and it's really cute, because they do karate in it.
Hmm.
And what else? Yeah, they have a bunch of songs. We rewrote Adam Sandler's Hanukkah song with all famous people who are vegan in it. I have to see what, you know, our rights are to use that beyond just performing it here.
Would they really come after you? Would Saturday Night Live really come after a vegetarian?
I don't know. I don't know. My mother just brought that up with me. She said, you know, I was thinking with the Brady Bunch, if we need to get some rights to using that, because I'd love to produce a video with the kids, and we're going to do an album, too.
Oh, I can't wait.
But, yeah, it's so much fun. I think I'm going to just quit the rest of my business and work with the veg kids all day. But,
do you perform, like, outside of animal advocacy events? Like,
you mean the veg
or something?
Kids?
Yeah, the veg kids.
Not yet, but I'd love to. I'm trying to get them on some talk shows and things.
Mm-hmm.
So far, it's either what I've created or what we've been invited to. We're performing for the New York City Walk for Farm Animals on Saturday. There's going to be, you know, a bunch of speeches, and I think some other musicians, and the kids are going to do about a half hour at the opening the walk.
Right, right.
So.
We have just a couple minutes left. I want to give you some time to tell some of your favorite stories that we spoke about before.
Oh, sure. Okay, with the kids going in the antique shop?
Sure, yeah, that's
okay. There was, after we were leaving a vegetation workshop and we were going out to eat at Kate's, which is a great vegetarian place in the Lower East Side, the kids and I were walking to the train station and they were still armed with a bunch of Pigs Are Friends Not Food stickers. So I let them run around this antique fair giving the stickers out to whoever they could assault politely. And they were giving the stickers out, going up to people saying, hey, are you vegetarian? And a few people were actually saying, oh, yes, I am. Oh, great, thank you. And one woman said, oh, this is so wonderful. My son has just been interested in going vegetarian. So we gave him a whole info kit.
Oh, wow.
That was great. And what else is funny? I don't know. I think our rehearsals keep the vegan marshmallow company in business.
Oh, yeah.
That's a staple at rehearsals.
Can you get those in New York, just like at a, you know, at a vegan-friendly
like store?
Because we
have
to order
them
in.
At Whole Foods.
Huh? We're still ordering them in Canada.
We're not as involved as New York is.
Oh, I would ship them to you. I guess it's just as easy to get them there. Yeah, we get them at the Whole Foods. This is right near where I work.
Oh, that's great. I always hear such wonderful things about the vegan food in New York. You know, like that there's like a vegan diner you can go to, and there's vegan bakeries and.
Yeah. Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's so amazing. That's kind of why I have a little bit of a delusion about it, because it's so easy where I live. You know, Moo Shoes.
Yeah.
They're a great vegan shoe store. That's on the corner of the block I live on, and then there's two other vegan restaurants right near my apartment. And near my office, there's so many other great places, too. So it is really easy here if you're in New York. So that's another thing. The vegetation workshops are talking with people. A lot of people come in from pretty far for the workshops. So we're talking about how you can go vegan on a budget by using what's in your regular commercial supermarket.
You stuff them full of marshmallows and send them on their way.
We put marshmallows in the gift bags.
Right on.
One last question. What advice do you have for people who want to teach compassion for animals to kids?
Just let them know what goes on. I thought, you know, it's just show them a picture. I think the best way is to start with the positive side of it. I always start with talking about the farm sanctuary and how wonderful they are and show them pictures of animals who actually live on the farm sanctuary. Or talk about dogs and cats. Ask what, you know, everyone's favorite animal is.
Hmm.
You know, if they're a little older, you can even talk about how in other cultures, companion animals here are food there.
Right.
And I think that especially talking about that cats and dogs are used for food and as tools in other places, that really strikes a lot of kids.
Right. Well, Carrie, thanks so much for being with us today.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
We're going to have you back once you get that album out.
Oh, cool.
Because we definitely want to have that on
the show.
Oh,
the kids are so excited. They want to be on, too.
Cool. And maybe we'll have you, like, in the studio next September during the veg fair.
Oh, that would be so great.
We'll work
something
out.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you, Carrie.
Thanks, Carrie.
Thanks. Bye.
We were talking with Carrie Lee of Acting Creatively. Unfortunately, I didn't get her website out. Her website is www.actingcreatively.com. And you can find out more about her workshops and her there. Coming up after a short musical break will be Jonathan Skinner of Veggie Games and the video game Steer Madness. You've been listening to CIUT 89.5 FM.
Hello and welcome back to Animal Voices. You're listening to CIUT 89.5 FM. Today on Animal Voices, we spoke with Carrie Lee at the top of the hour. She's with Veducation and Acting Creatively. It's actingcreatively.com is her website.
Yep.
And now we're going to be speaking with Jonathan Skinner. And he's, as Rob said, he's a superstar. He is the founder and inspiration behind Veggie Games Incorporated. And he's the creator of a pretty cool video game called Steer Madness. So, Jonathan, we're really happy to have you on the show today.
Hi, thanks.
So maybe you can just start off by telling us about Veggie Games, Inc., and then giving us a description of Steer Madness.
Well, Veggie Games is just a small game development company. Our only product right now is Steer Madness, where you play as a steer going around a city trying to save all the animals. It's all based off of animal rights activism. Yeah, there's lots of fun stuff you can do to go on all these missions and just cause lots of havoc and save all the animals.
Mm-hmm.
So did Steer Madness come first or Veggie Games?
Steer Madness came first. I came up with the concept about 2 years ago while I was doing other jobs and eventually decided to do it on my own and get the game done and set up the company.
Is there anything else like Steer Madness out there?
Not really. It's quite unique. There are a couple games that are somewhat animal rights related, not directly. There's one called Steer Avenger, where you go around as a deer and you shoot down all the hunters. And there's another more recent game called Whiplash, where the whole objective is to trash an animal testing lab, but their message is kind of twisted because you play a rabbit and a weasel, and the rabbit is the weapon. So, I don't know, it's kind of strange because you're being cruel to a rabbit in order to save the other animals.
Okay. So tell us more about Steer Madness then. You said go and wreck havoc. What does this look like exactly? Like, if someone were to sit down, you know, boot up the game, what would they expect when they're looking at the game?
To begin with, the game's very story-driven, so you get very attached to the characters kind of going through the lives of Bryce the Steer and the other characters that's in the game as they're talking about activism. Bryce is very new to activism himself. He just escaped from the slaughterhouse, so he himself is new to the world. He's just discovering what activism is all about. And so the player, along with him, learns all these things. And then you get these opportunities to go and save animals and other animal rights-related things. You get on a bike.
Yeah.
You ride around this big city. And it's completely nonviolent.
Yeah.
So when I say wreak havoc, it's just kind of
peaceful havoc.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he gets to drive a tofu truck through downtown and things like that.
Yeah. For the most part, you're riding bikes. It's very environmentally friendly.
Well, that's good. Good.
good to know. There's a couple specialty vehicles. Like, you can't exactly transport a whole lot of tofu and soy milk on a bike, so you end up borrowing their truck.
So is this game, was it an extension of your animal activism?
In a sense. Basically, I took all the things that I really wanted to do that I couldn't do in real life and made it into a game.
That's a really great venue to channel your energy, I think, actually.
Yeah,
to have this dream and then make it into a video game.
Yeah.
Are you happy with how it turned out? Do you wish that you'd done things differently? Are you still tweaking it, or is it totally the way that you want it now?
I think it turned out quite well. We're still in development, so there's a few things that aren't finalized, which should be ready by the time it goes into stores. But, yeah, it's very cool.
I'm curious about the obstacles that Bryce the Steer on his bike would face to wreak havoc. Like, you know, other video games, you know, you're crossing moats or you have to solve a riddle to get through a gate or unlock a special key that gets you somewhere else or you're being shot at by somebody and that's the obstacle. What are the obstacles that Bryce, our dear friend Bryce, is facing as he tries to liberate these animals and bring down the animal exploitation industries?
Well, they're a lot more direct. Like, depending on the mission you'll be going, and for example, saving rabbits from a cosmetics lab. So in that mission, what you would do is you have to find a way into the cosmetics lab, and it's a very kind of realistic city environment that he's in.
Mm-hmm.
So there's fences and security and all that sort of thing, and he's got to find a way around the security and then get into the lab, and then you have a certain amount of time that you can be in there before you get caught, before the alarms go off or something, where you just have to go and find all the rabbits and get them out of there.
And did they bring the rabbits to a sanctuary, or is that just the end of the mission?
Well, the cosmetics lab is conveniently placed right beside a natural park.
Yay!
Freedom!
So the rabbits just kind of hop away.
So what ages are you targeting with this game?
It's suitable for all ages, but I think the most appeal is going to be for people in their teens and 20s.
Yeah.
And it's going to be released, I think, December 1st of this year?
Yeah, that's the retail sale date.
And I know that you pitched it in L.A. earlier this year. What was the response to that?
Everyone thought it was a really great game. But because in L.A., the trade show there is the video game trade show E3. And it's a really big money thing. So all these publishers that would take the game and put it into stores, they don't really like taking original products because they want a guarantee that they're going to make money. So
right,
they
yeah.
just take last year's success and make it bigger and badder or
they
whatever.
They want Quake 4 or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. But I did get several good responses and good feedback, and they were requesting that I contact them for a sequel.
Hmm.
Will this game appeal to, because I know that vegetarians and vegans are going to snap this up, but do you think it will appeal to other non-animal rights people?
Well, the response I've gotten has been very good. Like, they just love the originality of it. I mean, it's not every day you get to see a steer riding around on a bike and drive around town like a mad cow in a tofu truck.
Yeah,
they just love the originality, and the characters are very appealing.
Yeah, I can't wait to play it. Is it? It's for PC, I think?
For PC and Macintosh.
And Macintosh.
Is there going to be a Linux version?
That's been requested. I'm going to try. I don't know if there'll be enough time to put it in the initial release, but soon afterwards we can do that.
Yeah, I've got a lot of veggie friends who are Linux users, and myself now am a Linux user, and love to be able to play the game. So it would be awesome if you could do that. I know you got like so much other stuff going on, so I'll just put my little request out there.
Lauren had a good question and that she wrote out. She said, how does the game strike a balance between entertainment and raising awareness about a serious and very sad topic?
Well, every time that...
I love the question.
Every time that something is brought up, like Bryce himself is only learning about all these activism issues, right? So the player learns along with him. But every time that you learn about something, you're provided with a way to do something about it. So when you find out about the animals trapped in a lab, you're told, hey, let's go free them and make it better. So I think that's kind of the way that it brings it across and in a better way.
Can people pre-order a copy before December?
Yes, we're accepting pre-orders on our website, theatermadness.com. Those will be sent out in the mail a couple weeks before it arrives in stores.
You said we are accepting pre-orders. So there's other people involved in this project as well?
A couple.
Uh-huh.
I've done most of everything, but right now there's an artist working full-time with me, and occasionally we have interns that come in and do some additional artwork. There's local schools that they do internship programs so that they can learn how to do video games and computer-related art. So we take some of them in, and they help us, and we teach them.
Wow.
If
So what's your vision now, Jonathan, for, you know, where would you like to see Veggie Games Inc. go, and what are your ideas, you know, for, in terms of the future?
I've been thinking about doing a sequel or some spin-off based on certain missions. We may make an entire game based off of that type of thing. Or I've even had some ideas of taking the game and making it into a movie.
Mm. Oh, wow. Like a computer animated movie?
I'd like to see it half and half, like live action with some computer-generated characters.
Right, right. So, and I just wanted to repeat what you had said earlier. If people pre-order this game, they'll get it 2 weeks before December 1st, around that.
Yeah, around then. It really depends on where they live, though, because it's getting sent in the mail. But they should get it anywhere between within the last week or two of November.
So steermadness.com, they can order that through.
Yeah.
And more about just Veggie Games in general. I read on this site that you really wanted to create just a line of non-violent games. Why was that important to you?
Mainstream games in general are just very violent in nature, right? And it's just, sometimes it's just too much. But also just because the whole objective of veganism is to not, like, cause harm to others, right? Whether they're animals or human, we want, I don't know, we just want a peaceful world, right?
Mm-hmm.
So why use violence when you don't have to?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, actually, I was speaking with Carrie, the first guest, before about this, and she said that's perfect because I wanted a non-violent video game for my foster daughter to play. So I think it's going to be really successful. We just have about a minute or two left. Maybe you could tell us a bit about Vegan Voices, the animal advocacy group you founded in Vancouver.
Yes, I started that a few years ago.
You've just done it all, Jonathan, haven't you?
It started out just as a small group, and just a couple friends who wanted to have some kind of direct action group, or not direct action, sorry, grassroots. We mostly did leafleting and stuff. And also somewhere where vegans can go to be around other vegans and hang out and talk about meat eaters and our fun experiences with them. So, yeah, and I couldn't find anything in Vancouver that was quite what I was looking for, so started it myself.
That's awesome.
Jonathan, we don't have very much time left, but I wanted to put another request out there. I haven't played the game yet, and I understand that the activist that Bryce meets, just back to the Steer Madness game for a second, is the activist female that he meets?
Yes.
Okay, because I was like, oh, it'd be so good if we had, like, the protagonist of a video game. They're so often not female characters, so I was hoping maybe the next spin-off could have a female character be the superhero. That's my request.
You could. You could have Sal Madness.
But Bryce sounds awesome.
There are two supporting female characters.
Okay, oh, awesome. That's great. Jonathan, thanks for all your amazing work. We can't wait to get our hands on the game.
Thank you.
And thanks for being on Animal Voices. And Rob has one last thing he wants to say.
I just wanted to make sure. What's the Vegan Voices website?
It's veganvoices.org.
.org. SteerMadness.com and VeggieGames.com?
Yeah.
Great. Just so people can get a hold of you.
Okay.
We'll have you back on, hopefully, when you continue to put out new stuff. We look forward to monitoring your progress, and thanks a lot for your work.
All right, thank you.
Thanks. That was Jonathan Skinner with Veggie Games, Inc. and Vegan Voices in Vancouver and the creator of Steer Madness. We're going to speak with Karen Davis just briefly about the new legislation that's been brought in, was signed by Schwarzenegger just recently over the past, I guess, week.
Over the past week.
About foie gras. We did a show. I just want to quickly explain what foie gras is for people who don't know. Basically, foie gras is the fatty liver of ducks and geese. And the way that the industry creates this delicacy is by, and that's in quotes, is by force feeding these animals with these long tubes that they shove down their throats. It's really
horrible. And pneumatically pump pounds of corn mash into their stomachs. three times a day.
So there's some new legislation, and we wanted to get a perspective on it from Karen Davis with United Poultry Concerns. She's the president, and we'll also have another show in the upcoming weeks about foie gras. So, Karen, thanks for being here today.
Thank you, Lauren. I'm delighted to be on the show today.
So give us your initial response to this legislation, and maybe could you outline what the legislation is about and what impacts it will or will not have for the foie gras industry?
Well, certainly the big thing is that this is one of the first pieces of legislation in the United States that has been passed that will seriously impact the factory farming practice, the production of foie gras, which is the force feeding of ducks and geese, although in this country it's ducks, by mechanical means to enlarge their livers and to create an actual pathological condition of the liver. So the very fact that a law was introduced and that was passed into law by and signed by Governor Schwarzenegger last week is certainly a milestone in our effort to try to win legislation and protective laws for animals used in food production. This is a very positive step. There have been some objections within the animal advocacy community, some concerns expressed about the fact that there is a phase-in period of several years, and that one of the conditions of the legislation in the form in which it finally passed was that no litigation could be brought against the Sonoma foie gras company during that phase-in period. There is also a concern that the company would use the time period to find some alternative ways to enlarge and fatten the liver of ducks. Mm. Our position, the position of United Poultry Concerns, was that, yes, compromises have been made in the legislation, but that is typical of all legislation, and you're never going to start off with a set of demands embedded in a proposed piece of legislation that are all going to be incorporated so that when the legislation finally passes, it resembles everything that you asked for initially. Our opinion is, my opinion and view of the legislation is, which we supported throughout, is that, first of all, as I said, it's a major step forward on behalf of farmed animals. Once the bill is passed into law, it can be amended so that it is more in keeping with what the original sponsor of the legislation would have wanted in the first place, so that the bill, once it is passed into law, as it has now been, is not simply a finished project, but it is a process that can be improved. Secondly, it is going to certainly sound a message to other states that the time has come when factory farming practices are no longer immune from accountability and any kind of legal intervention. That is an important message. We can all make use of that. There is also the fact that, for example, those people who expressed their concerns and even in some cases opposition to the bill as it was passed into law in California last week, those people are in a position in their states to introduce legislation, for example, that would ban the sale of foie gras in their state. Mm. They could also try to get legislation that would prevent any foie gras company from setting up business in that state. As many people know, it is only New York State and the state of California that have a foie gras business in the United States. So what we're seeing is the outlawing of one of the two major companies that produce foie gras in this country, which happens to be in California. And one of the really positive things about this law is that not only will it ban the production of foie gras in the state of California, but it will also ban the sale of foie gras in the state of California. So I think what we're seeing is a really powerful decision having been made by legislators and fortunately agreed upon by Governor Schwarzenegger that the production of foie gras, the force feeding of ducks, the mechanical contraptions that are used to make their livers grow many, many times and really in a totally unhealthy way, many times larger than they would normally be under any normal circumstance, I think we're seeing something that is really a very encouraging sign here in the United States, where so many of us have worked so hard and so desperately over many years to try to get something on the books mm-hmm. for farmed animals in general and for birds in particular, As many of your listeners probably know, birds continue to be excluded from the Federal Humane Methods of Slaughter Act,
mm-hmm.
which is a subject that we are all going to be revisiting now. And so here's something that actually is going to improve the lives of birds. That itself, the attention to birds used in food production, a law to protect them, is itself something that is really a historic event in this country.
Mm-hmm. Did Sonoma Foie Gras support this legislation?
Well, that's been one of the concerns that has been expressed, that Sonoma Foie Gras, the owner, Mr. Gonzalez, has expressed his appreciation, as he said, for allowing us to continue in operation. We are very appreciative of the legislator's decision to allow this operation to continue for the next 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'm not an expert on the legislation. I was not deeply involved in the legislative process in this case, so I don't want to speak beyond my knowledge, but I do want to say that the message this sends to me, and what I think it should send to the rest of the animal advocacy community, is in the next 8 years, we have our work cut out for us. We want to use every opportunity available to continue to educate the public and to educate our legislators about what foie gras actually entails as a welfare abuse for ducks
mm-hmm.
and geese. Again, it's ducks in this country, although geese are the primary bird, for example, in Israel. The fact that a law has been passed, as I said earlier, does not mean that this is a done deal, it's a finished project. On the contrary, we've got an 8-year phase-in period, and I should say that the sow gestation crates, which were banned last year in Florida, they have a phase-in period.
Mm-hmm.
And, for example, the phasing out of battery cages in the U.K., has a phase-in period to, as I recall, 2012. So I don't think you're going to see a company that uses animals in some way or other simply being told by the lawmakers to shut down immediately. Or that's what we would prefer, obviously. Anybody who has seen Delicacy of Despair, the powerful video by GourmetCruelty.com, certainly has seen the most horrible, sad, dreadful treatment of animals that you can possibly imagine. So the idea that that would go on for even one more second is horrific.
Karen, I'm going to have to cut you off because we're out of time. But yeah, I think we get your message that we have much more work ahead of us. I really appreciate hearing your perspective and having you on. It's always too brief, and we look forward to hearing more from you maybe in the upcoming months as well on this issue. Thanks so much for being on at a relatively last-minute notice. We always appreciate hearing from you, Karen.
Thank you, Lauren. It's been a great pleasure, and I'll talk to you again soon, I hope.
Okay, thanks. That was Karen Davis, the president of United Poultry mm-hmm. Concerns. I would definitely encourage people to check out their website. It's quite elaborate, lots of good information. I think it's upc-online.org. You've been listening to Animal Voices, CIUT 89.5, here with Rob Moore. I'm Lauren Corman, our tech Lamia. We were speaking with Carrie Lee from Veggication, as well as Jonathan Skinner with Veggie Games, Inc., and Karen Davis from United Poultry Concerns. Please stay tuned to CIUT.